Support for Access Utah comes from Crum Brothers Artisan Bread at 300 South and 300 West in Logan. Now open Monday through Saturday until 2, offering a changing menu of a specialty salad, French breakfast pastries with local seasonal fruits, and lunch sandwiches.
Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. The Recreation, Arts, Parks, and Zoos Tax, or RAPS tax in Cache County, is on the ballot for renewal. Expired after 10 years, it was approved by a large margin originally. It's a 0.1% sales tax applied in Cache County. And a small portion of that total goes to the state of Utah for collection expense. The rest is distributed to cultural, botanical, parks, and recreation and zoological facilities. It is on the ballot, and we're going to debate the proposition today on the program. Those against the measure say that it's a small tax, but it is a tax, and we shouldn't be raising taxes or renewing taxes in tough economic times. They also say that why should government be picking winners and losers? Why should I have to pay so that you can go to the opera? And that these decisions should be part of the regular budgeting process. Those for the tax say that some arts organizations would not survive without a little help. This enriches our community. And there's a multiplier effect, and a vibrant arts and recreation community attracts tourism. The net effect is positive. We'll have people speaking for and against. Coming up, we'll have Royce Van Tassel with Utah Taxpayers Association speaking against renewal of the tax. Several people will be speaking for it. Julie Hollist with Cache Valley Visitors Bureau. Wally Bloss with the Cache Valley Center for the Arts. Gerald Knight, the mayor of Nibley, and Brett Daniels with Smithfield City Recreation. We begin with a general overview of the RAPS tax. We bring in on the telephone a reporter for the Logan Herald Journal, Charles Geraci. Charles, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be with
you. Appreciate you taking the time. And in studio with us is Val Potter with the Cache County Council. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Good to be here, Tom.
Let's start with Charles Geraci. This was, I can't remember when this passed, 10 years ago, I think. And I believe the margin was pretty healthy.
Yeah, that's correct. In 2002, basically the voters expressed support for the tax. It was enacted by the council. And because it's 10 years later now, the voters will get to weigh in the form of an opinion question, which will essentially ask them whether the council should renew and reauthorize the tax.
And this, it's a small tax, 0.1% sales tax, right? And by law, this is apportioned out to what sorts of organizations?
Well, the way that it's distributed is, you're correct that it's a 0.1% sales tax applied in the county, and it's distributed according to the following three categories. So cultural and botanical gets 40%, parks and recreation gets 50%, and then the zoological facilities, which in our case is the Willow Park Zoo, gets 10%.
And Mr. Potter, there's a board, I think, that meets, or is it the county council that decides which organizations get the money that's apportioned?
The county council is the final deciding factor, but there's a committee of eight that is appointed. They come from all over the county. Each of the districts has a representative, either a council member or a representative from the area. There are two county council members on that committee, and the rest come from at large from the community, not at large, but from each of the districts. And they make the decisions. The council has the right to override them, but over the years, the council has seldom changed their recommendations in any form.
And the amount in the fund goes up and down, I guess, depending on how the economy is doing.
It does. It's sat around the $2 million mark for a number of years. So there's about $2 million to work with.
And usually, my understanding is, there are more applications from more arts organizations, botanical, et cetera, organizations, than there is money to allocate.
Usually 2 to 3 times more.
Yeah. So those are some tough decisions.
They are tough decisions. We try to put it through a formula to make sure that the proper organizations are being taken care of. If they make a good argument for why the money should be used, we take that into consideration.
What are some of the arguments in those applications? Are there survival arguments? Some of the organizations say we got to have this money or we'll go under?
Of course, yeah, we see that regularly. But, you know, our purpose is not to keep keep organizations alive through the tax money. We are very inclined to give the money to organizations that have a means of coming up with their own money, that the RAPS money would be something that would enhance the program and make it better and improve it. That's what the committee is looking for. That's what the county council is looking for.
And this is a broad range of organizations. Do you? I guess by law, are you required to apportion it out in certain percentages? Certain percentages to arts organizations, certain to zoo, certain to parks.
Yeah, as Charles said, the Willow Park Zoo gets 10%. The arts organizations, cultural and arts, get 40%. And so we look at them. That's probably the most between that and the cities. That's difficult to decide. Where the money should go. You know, there's the argument that we're enhancing these cultural organizations and people should have to pay for that, and that's where that comes from. Unfortunately, in Cache Valley, to keep the culture and the arts going in the right direction, it seems to need the subsidy to keep it going, mm-hmm. and enhance it and grow it. Julie will talk a little bit more from the Tourist Bureau about the economic benefits of the cultural organizations and the fact that they bring in hordes and hordes of people. Mm-hmm. Thousands, literally thousands of people come to the Valley and stay over. They shop in our stores. They eat at the restaurants. They bring a lot of money into the Valley. And we look at that, and that's one of the reasons we feel good about seeing this tax continue. When it comes to the recreation side of it, 50% goes to that. A good portion of that goes to the cities, and the cities make petitions of projects that they're going to do. We view heavily those organizations, those cities that are willing to put money into their projects and labor and things like that. If they've got a project, they're going to pay half on or three quarters on. It's viewed more positively by the RAPS committee that they'll give the money to enhance that program, not just buy playground equipment and ball fields and things like that. This tax is incredible in the things that it's done. It's bought, it's paid for restrooms in various facilities, ball fields. It's paid for tennis courts, trails, hiking trails, walking trails. I come from North Logan. I'm a former mayor there. And over the years, the RAPS tax has paid for walking trails. Lately, what it paid for this year was enhancements to our park, park improvements, restroom facilities. They built a walking trail and a splash pad in the park, a park that really had been suffering over the years. We put a good share of money into it, and the RAPS tax has really enhanced what's happening down at that park on the west side of North Logan.
Hmm. If you just joined us, we're talking about the RAPS tax. This is the Recreation Arts Parks and Zoos tax. It's a 0.1% sales tax, which goes to cultural, botanical, parks, recreation, and zoological facilities in Cache County. It is up for renewal by the voters. Voters can choose to continue it or to kill it. And that's on the ballot, so we're debating it today. We'll have people for and against. Right now we're talking with Val Potter with the Cache County Council and with Charles Geraci, reporter with the Logan Herald Journal. You're welcome to voice your opinion. We hope that you will at 1-800-826-1495. Don't have to be in Cache County to voice your opinion on this. Your county probably has something like this or will have something debated. I think the ZAP tax in Salt Lake County is coming up for renewal here in a couple of years. The number is 1-800-826-1495, or you can email us at upraxis@gmail.com, upraxis@gmail.com. Charles Geraci, I notice in the pages of the Logan Herald Journal in the comments section, letters to the editor, this has been a pretty hot topic.
Yeah, it is a hot topic. Anytime you deal with taxation issues, you know, it's always one for a vigorous debate. But I will say that if ever there were a popular tax, it would seem like this would be it, at least from the standpoint of government officials and nonprofit organizations. You'll probably have representatives talking who are opposed to the tax, and there's a number of people there as well. But, you know, just in the reporting on this, it does seem like the officials themselves are personally supportive of the tax, and we'll probably hear more of that as time goes on.
I don't know if you've looked, you know, outside Cache County in terms of background for your articles, but you do Google searches on this. It seems like these sorts of taxes are pretty popular nationwide.
Yeah, I think that that's true in general. You mentioned the ZAP tax in Salt Lake County. That's the Zoo Arts and Parks tax that they have there. You know, in 2004, voters there were weighing in on whether to renew that one. And that's similar to what's going on here this year.
As you continue with your reporting on this, what especially are you looking at? Is there anything that's sort of surprising to you that you're following up with?
Well, I can tell you, I have asked a technical question to the county attorney's office. They have yet to get back to me on it, but I'm sure they will soon, which is if it's a pretty close margin, you know, say a little bit more than 50% or a little bit less than 50% in favor or opposed, at that point, would the council have the ability to enact it on its own, or does it have to strictly follow, you know, what the public says? I don't know the answer to that, but I have put in that request to the county attorney's office.
All right, and we can throw that over to Mr. Potter, Val Potter. This is, they call it an opinion question, right? That's how you phrased it, but I assume you will follow the wishes of the voters. Do you have to follow the, you know, that, since it is an opinion question?
I believe so. I think the council could vote it down if they opted to, come to think of it. Mm-hmm. As Charles said, I'm not sure. If it doesn't pass, if we could enact it, I suppose it's like anything else. We could go and increase taxes and find our own way to fund those organizations. But mm-hmm. that's a decision that the county council would have to make. And taxes, as you know, are not popular. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a big proponent of taxes, but this is one that has proven itself to me as very, very necessary for funding arts and recreational and zoo funding throughout the county in small counties or small towns in the county that just don't have the money to do these kinds of things. There was a letter to the editor a day or so ago, somebody saying it was an elitist thing for people, and it's only certain people would use the money for apps, and I do disagree. There are some cultural organizations that do require you to pay to go to their functions, but I look at the fields and the trails and things throughout the county. Those are open to anybody. I mentioned North Logan. The Bonneville Shoreline Trail runs right to the, you know, right in the middle of the Shoreline Trail is Green Canyon, and there's more trails up Green Canyon that have been funded through RAPS. The restroom that's there at the mouth of Green Canyon is a RAPS tax funded restroom. Those kinds of things benefit everybody, and mm-hmm. and everyone's paying into this when they buy anything other than food. This isn't a restaurant tax. This is just a sales tax on things that are purchased in the valley, and 0.1% goes towards RAPS. And so everybody is participating. Everybody should benefit, and I feel they are.
The restaurant tax, some people get that confused in with the RAPS tax because some of the restaurant tax goes to promote tourism and the like. The restaurant tax is not on the ballot.
It's right? Not. Okay. It's not on the ballot.
It's just the RAPS tax.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to actually take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Royce Van Tassel with Utah Taxpayers Association. His organization is against this tax, renewal of the tax. And later in the program, we'll be talking with Julie Hollis, Wally Bloss, Gerald Knight, and Brett Daniels in favor of the tax. Val Potter with Cache County Council, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
And Charles DeRacy, Logan Herald Journal, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Following a break, on with Royce Van Tassel.
I'm Victor Hawkstrom, General Manager, Utah Public Radio. To all of our kind and caring members, thank you for your pledge of support during our fall pledge drive. Because of you, Utah Public Radio has been here since 1953. But we need to continue this tradition of public radio excellence and can only do so through your compassionate, helpful, and kind support. Our fall pledge drive has been very slow going. We're significantly behind our goal. With your caring and kind support, we can reach our $90,000 goal. So if you are not a member or have not yet renewed your much-needed membership support, please share your generosity by pledging today to assure the continuation of the excellent programs you enjoy on UPR. Call now or go to upr.org. Thank you for your thoughtful consideration.
On this part of Access Utah, we're talking with Royce Van Tassel with the Utah Taxpayers Association. Mr. Van Tassel, welcome back to the program.
Always a pleasure to be with your listeners.
Let me open with this. This is the concluding paragraph in an editorial from the Logan Herald Journal. This is from February. They didn't know whether this was going to be on the ballot or not, but of course now we know it is. This is what they say. A sales tax of a tenth of a percent represents just a penny on every $10 spent. Yes, taxes add up, but this is such a small contribution to help make so many Valley projects and activities. How can anyone interested in the overall health of our community justifiably oppose its continuation? I believe you do oppose its continuation. Tell me why.
The Taxpayers Association has long argued that rather than having tax systems that vary from one jurisdiction to another and thereby distort economic activity, we should have a single sales tax rate. The purpose of taxes like the RAP tax or other boutique sales taxes is to take the projects that they fund out of the normal funding system, out of the budgeting cycle. And if those projects really are the most important things, they, like cream, will rise to the top and be funded as part of a regular budget process. It simply makes no sense to have these kinds of economic distortions where the sales tax is lower here than it is there. And those kinds of distinctions really do drive economic behavior. I recall growing up in Pennsylvania, we would go down to Maryland to buy clothes because clothing wasn't taxed there, and that was a savings that we could realize. People drive out of their way and pass different gas stations to save a penny per gallon. It's simply inappropriate for to create these kinds of economic distortions through the tax code.
Now, some would argue that, that yes, taxes do drive economic behavior, but in a positive way. For example, drawing tourism into Cache Valley because there are vibrant arts organizations which are subsidized in part with the RAPS tax.
Again, not questioning whether or not those projects should or shouldn't happen. The question is, should we be sequestering money outside the normal appropriations process for that? This is an earmark. And certainly we have learned the hard way back in Washington, D.C., about the kinds of problems that earmarks create. If, however, we put all of the projects and have them compete against each other and decide that funding tourism projects is the most important thing to be done with the county's tax dollars, then that's what's going to get funded. By saying we need to pay for them with an earmarked tax, we're implicitly suggesting that process may not provide funding for that, which speaks to a different set of priorities.
So Utah Taxpayers Association would not be opposed to organizations being funded or subsidized out of tax money if it went through the regular process?
Not necessarily. I mean, those are political decisions that need to be made in the give and take of the budgeting process, but it is certainly a problem to earmark dollars, especially when those dollars are designed to distort economic activity.
Now, there's a broad range of organizations that get funded, some with a little bit of money, some with more, in Cache County. These are arts organizations and parks and the like. And I suppose the argument would be if it went through the regular budgeting process, many of these would just fall by the wayside and perhaps would cease to exist.
You know, again, that's a question for the county commissioners up there as they're evaluating what the relative priorities are. If those projects really are the most important thing, they certainly will. the fact that someone feels the need to sequester or earmark those dollars does suggest that the relative priority of some of these projects vis-a-vis, say, road funding or human services may not be as important. But again, that's something you only know when you put everything into that funding process and say, what is the most important? What is the cream here that's going to rise to the top?
You've addressed this, but maybe we could revisit this and emphasize a little more. You're saying that there's a harm here with an earmarked tax like this. Maybe tell me a little bit more what the harm is.
Well, government shouldn't be in the business of picking winners and losers. And when you create these kinds of economic distortions and say we're going to have a higher tax in this area than we are in our neighboring county, inevitably you drive economic decisions. And one of the principles of sound tax policy is simply this, that government tax policy should be neutral in a person's decision about where to invest, where to spend their money. It should be as much as possible uniform so that people, it's the economics of the transaction that are driving the decision, not arbitrary decisions by government officials.
Perhaps looking at a tax subsidy, which you'd be more in favor of, which is not an earmark, but going through the regular process, but just looking at this more generally, some would say, if some of these arts organizations can't stand on their own with ticket sales, perhaps they shouldn't be there.
There are some who make that argument. That was actually a question that the legislature had asked the voters to consider this year, and there was initially going to be a ballot question for whether this kind of a wrap tax ought to be on the ballot statewide. The legislature at the last minute decided to pull that off the ballot, but certainly there are folks who make that argument. It's curious that, we're talking about recreation activities. Some people like to go to the theater. Other people like to go to the gun range. Other people like to go play basketball. Some of those activities receive taxpayer subsidies. Others don't. It's unclear why one of those activities or some of those activities would be more worthy of a taxpayer subsidy than others.
Does the Utah Taxpayers Association have a position on these sorts of subsidies?
Our position has long been that those are decisions that the local elected officials should evaluate. They should do so as part of the overall budgeting process so that we're not earmarking or sequestering funds for one group of projects, and that which is most important almost inevitably rises to the top.
Would this change? Would there be ebbs and flows in good economic times versus tighter times? Do you think that's an appropriate way for government to look at this? Subsidize the arts when we have a bit more money and less when we don't?
The sales tax, and this is a form of a sales tax, is the most volatile or one of the most volatile taxes out there. It's far more volatile than the property tax. It's generally more volatile than the personal income tax or individual income tax, though probably a little less volatile than the corporate income tax. And inevitably, by tying funding to this volatile revenue source, you see dollars getting provided in the good times, and they pull back in the bad times. And that's got to be a very difficult way to budget over the long term when you don't know what the state of the economy is going to be 6 months or 12 months or 24 months from now.
Hmm. These sorts of ballot initiatives, at least in the recent past here in Utah, have tended to be pretty popular. And that ties into to something that, that you know, a lot of us notice that, at least for your particular earmark or the particular tax provision that benefits you, talking about public, you tend to like that. That's probably why we have so many.
This is, you know, give you another example of the same phenomenon. Congress has a very low popularity rating. People generally don't like Congress generally, but they like their congressman. He's a good guy, whether you're talking about Congressman Bishop, Congressman Chaffetz, Congressman Matheson. If you live in their district, you like that guy. It's somebody else that's the problem. There's another sort of old saw that says, don't tax me, don't tax thee, tax the man behind the tree. If you don't feel the sense that you personally are paying it, it's not such a bad idea, and it's going to get me something that I personally want, so I support that. Whether it's good tax policy or not, and sort of the long-term economic challenges that those economic distortions create isn't always obvious. It's kind of like that man behind the tree.
Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm driving at is that it's a little, with some of these things, it's from your point of view, it's a little bit of an uphill battle. What is that key argument that you think might sway the decision, the debate, and get rid of some of these earmarked targeted taxes?
Well, raising taxes, as a rule, is the wrong thing to do. People consistently indicate that they want lower taxes. And here's an opportunity for the folks of Cache County to say, you know what, we're ready to see our taxes go down. And gosh darn it, we are not going to support this tax increase.
Well, we'll leave it there. Royce Van Tassel from Utah Taxpayers Association. We're talking about the RAPS tax in Cache County. It'll be on the ballot for renewal in November. That's why we're having the debate, pro and con here. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You're listening to Access Utah, and coming up, we're going to hear the four side of this debate, why you should vote to renew the RAPS tax, Recreation Arts, Parks, and Zoos tax. It's a 0.1% sales tax. It goes to cultural, botanical, parks and recreation, and zoological facilities in Cache County. It's up for renewal by the voters. It'll be on your ballot, and you'll have to decide whether you're for or against it if you're a Cache County voter. Of great interest, I think, to people statewide and nationwide, these sorts of taxes are increasingly on the ballot or enacted or at least being decided on. And arguments against, why should I be forced to pay so you can go to the opera? Government shouldn't be picking winners and losers, even in this area. And four, this is a multiplier effect, helps tourism, and the net effect economically is positive. It enriches life for all of us. Several other arguments will be getting the pro arguments coming up, starting with Julie Hollist. On this part of Access Utah, we're talking with Julie Hollist, who's director of Cache Valley Visitors Bureau. And, of course, we're talking about the Recreation Arts, Parks, and Zoos tax for Cache County. It's on the ballot for renewal. Julie Hollist, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So we've heard some arguments why we voters should not renew the RAPS tax. Maybe give me your main points as to why voters should renew this tax.
Well, it's interesting because of the position that I hold for my profession here as the director of the Cache Valley Visitors Bureau, but also obviously being a resident of Cache Valley. For my own, you know, lifestyle, and for my own quality of life, I really appreciate the things that the RAPS tax has afforded me, just as a resident of this valley. And from the Visitors Bureau perspective, too, you know, we have a lot of money that's generated by tourists who come here, and so they're also paying part of this 0.1% that's being placed on everything as far as the sales tax goes. But together, I mean, those provide benefits in every realm, from arts to outdoor recreation, of course, as the RAPS tax indicates. But I think it would be difficult to find one very many people in this entire valley who have not been touched or had the opportunity to participate in events or organizations or facilities that the RAPS tax has taken care of for us.
Do we know what the economic benefit is? This is touted as a multiplier, is it not? You have this very small tax, a tenth of a percent on sales tax, and then that gets multiplied in benefits to the community.
Correct. And, you know, I think the way that we can look at that multiplier, at least from my perspective in the Visitors Bureau, is that those funds generated help to finance subsidize or support, I guess I should say, some great events and activities that draw people here from all over the world. Of course, those can be soccer tournaments. It can be the Utah Festival Opera Musical Theater. It can be all sorts of things that help us use that as an anchor to draw people here. And, you know, my job really here is to get people to come here on vacation and spend their money and leave. That's what my job is to do. And so I'm utilizing a lot of events and a lot of attributes of our community that have come from RAPS tax funding in order to do just that.
One argument here against a tax of this kind is that if an event or an organization can't stand on their own, then perhaps the public has voted, in essence, against that. And why are we subsidizing that?
You know, I think there's a lot of different facets to every perspective, and that's a fine one. I would certainly hate to see the wealth of opportunities that we have here disappear or dwindle away because of not being able to stand on their own. There aren't very many nonprofits that I can even think of that stand on their own. I mean, you know, our parks would go downhill. It's not just events. But we would lose many great opportunities that add to the richness of our lives here in Cache Valley as residents, and also certainly those assets that are able to bring tourists here who benefit people on all fronts as they spend their money here in our community.
Now, I suppose the people posed also might say, we already have a restaurant tax, 1% of sales tax on prepared food or food ingredients sold by a restaurant. That can be used for tourism promotion and other things. Then why do we need the RAPS tax?
Well, you know, the RAPS tax definitely has a broader a broader base, a broader ability to encompass more needs in our community, and that's certainly something I would look at. I wouldn't want to confuse those two items.
Tell us again the range of things that are supported by the RAPS tax. It's a broad range of organizations.
Oh, yeah, everything from bike paths and trails to presentations of chamber music to the American West Heritage Center to the Aquatic Center to the zoo. I mean, all of those things. So, I mean, the money has to come from somewhere to help fund all of those great things that we have here, or else we don't have them. And I think really a penny on $10, a penny? I mean, I know that the economy is tight, but for a quality of life, if nothing else, I'm more than supportive of being able to donate that small amount that when everyone puts together, you know, it becomes a great resource for us and for our community that benefits everyone.
Some of the organizations, I'm familiar with Opera, for example.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to cover everything with ticket price, you know, only the very rich would be going.
You could never do it. I don't know of another nonprofit performing arts organization that ever has covered its costs with ticket prices alone, truthfully, across the country.
And so, in your view, this should be subsidized, should be supported, should be nurtured.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you see? I'm guessing that you see an increase in tourism, increase in visitors, if you have several vibrant arts organizations.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Arts are a big draw. But then again, when people are here for those reasons, they're also benefiting by our, you know, our trails, by our zoo, by, you know, the other things. It's not just arts. And I would hate for all of the recreation opportunities that are provided through the RAPS tax to be overshadowed by arts. It really is a unique balance and situation and opportunity we have to diversify and to provide support to all different walks of life through the projects that this fund is able to benefit.
One of the, it's interesting reading comments on various stories on the RAPS tax in the Logan Herald Journal. One person says they can already get some of this artsy type stuff over the television. Why do we need to go downtown for it?
Well, I'd probably ask them when the last time was they went downtown and did it themselves instead of seeing it on TV. It's a totally different experience to have the opportunity to participate in live arts events than anything you can get two-dimensionally on TV. That's my perspective anyway. But I'm a lover of the arts, so there you have it.
There you have it. So your, I guess your final pitch for why voters should renew, re-up the RAPS tax.
One penny on $10, use your cents. It all comes together to be able to benefit all walks of life through recreation, through parks, through the zoo, and through the arts. It's a quality of life issue for us, and I think that as Cache Valley residents, we really need to support it and keep our valley and the opportunities that are here bountiful and vibrant.
Julie Hollis, Director of the Cache Valley Visitors Bureau, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We just heard from Julie Hollis. And previous to that, Royce Van Tassel, Utah Taxpayer Association, speaking against renewal of the RAPS tax. We'll have more voices in support coming up following a break. The RAPS tax is in Cache County, but it's similar to many taxes around the country, including ZAP tax in Salt Lake County. Recreation, arts, parks, and zoos tax, 0.1% sales tax applied to cultural and botanical parks and recreation and zoological facilities. It's the general conventional wisdom is it has been a popular tax. And it was approved by a large margin 10 years ago. Now it's up for renewal. And we're throwing the question out to you. Are you in favor of or against the tax? Here's your chance to chime in on this and help sway your fellow voters. The number is 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495. Or you can email us at upraxis@gmail.com, upraxis@gmail.com. Just about 15 minutes left in the program. We'd love to hear from you. Pro or con, 1-800-826-1495 or upraxis@gmail.com. We will have more in this debate following this brief break.
Utah Public Radio, as a part of Vote Utah 2012, presents a debate between U.S. Senate incumbent Orrin Hatch and candidate Scott Howell. Tune in to UPR to listen to this essential piece of election coverage from Utah's public broadcasters. The debate will air Wednesday night at 7 p.m. with a rebroadcast Thursday morning at 10 a.m. on Utah Public Radio, Utah's source for election coverage.
It's Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're debating the RAPS tax on the program today. This is a tax in Cache County. It's been on the books for 10 years, approved by the voters 10 years ago, up for renewal now. So this will be a ballot measure that you'll see if you're in Cache County. I believe the ZAP tax in Salt Lake County will be coming up in a couple of years, so this will be interesting to you. And many other areas have this sort of tax. Recreation, arts, parks, and zoos tax, 0.1% sales tax applied to cultural and botanical parks and recreation and zoological facilities. And we have had Royce Van Tassel from Utah Taxpayers Association speaking against this measure. Julie Hollis, you just heard from her, Cache Valley Visitors Bureau, speaking for. Now we bring in Wally Bloss, Executive Director from Cache Valley Center for the Arts. Wally, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for letting me come.
Gerald Knight, Mayor of Nibley, thanks for coming in.
You bet. Thank you. Appreciate the invite.
And Brett Daniels, Smithfield City Recreation Director, and you're also on the Allocation Committee for RAPS Tax, I understand. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So we've heard some of the arguments from Mr. Van Tassel why voters should not reapprove this. And I've been seeing these in letters to the editor and so forth. You see some of these arguments every time one of these kinds of taxes is up for renewal or on the ballot for the first time. One of those is why should I be forced to pay for somebody else's choices in the arts? Also, the government shouldn't be in the business of picking winners and losers. Let's have each of you gentlemen jump in generally, starting with Wally Bloss. Why should voters reapprove this?
Well, I think the Recreation, Arts, Parks, and Tax program provides an opportunity for people at all levels of society. There's kind of a discussion, it's only for certain levels, but that isn't in fact true. When I see the people that come to the Bar J Wranglers, we've got a very broad spectrum of people that attend those kinds of things, and it is kind of fun. The argument that why should I pay for someone else? Well, it's sort of like my children are long out of school. Maybe I shouldn't have to pay a school tax anymore. You know, that's not how society works. So I think this is a logical thing. And the other thing I like about it is it's the one of the rare taxes that we actually have the opportunity to see where the dollars are going in a very specific way. We actually have friends and neighbors that make those decisions. It's not decided in Washington. It's not decided in Salt Lake. It's decided right here. Now, that's a pretty rare thing in a tax.
Let's turn to Mayor Knight. In your opinion, what's been the benefit to Nimbus City and why should people re-up?
Well, in Nibley City, over the last 10 years, we've received roughly $341,000 from this tax, and it's gone to specific park projects, which those benefit everyone, even those that don't necessarily use those facilities. Those that drive by the facilities are able to enjoy the beauty and open space associated with that. So I'm in favor of the tax. I think it's a very important thing, and it supplements our parks budget.
And Brett Daniels, just your general statement of why you feel that voters should vote yes on this.
Well, yes. Hopefully people will vote yes for this tax. In Smithfield, we've received about $250,000 through wraps and some through the restaurant tax also. But speaking on the wraps tax, we've been able to make several wonderful improvements to our parks. And if you've been to Forester Acres lately, you'll see how nice that is, and we're able to host many tournaments, many leagues, and those kind of things, which brings in a lot of people from out of town, which I think really stimulates the economy here in Cache Valley. You know, it's an investment in our kids. It's one penny for every $10, and so anyone that's coming in from out of the valley is also paying that too, and that money stays here. Mm-hmm. We got to realize every time we go to Salt Lake, we're paying that for them down there. Mm-hmm. And for their facilities. So it's nice to have here. It's such a small amount. And it's just an investment in our quality of life.
Mm. I don't know if we have numbers overall in terms of, it seems logical that if you have a vibrant arts and cultural atmosphere like we seem to do in Cache Valley, that you would get more people coming in, and overall that the money would be in a positive direction.
Well, the Utah Festival Opera has done some studies. I don't remember the exact details, but it basically talks about the number of summer citizens that are here. And they involve themselves not only in the cultural things, but also in the recreational things. And they spend money. There's no doubt about it. I actually know some people that purchase a condo here, live in it during the summer, but then rent it out during the rest of the year. So they've made another investment in the area because of the things that happen here, because of the culture, because of the recreational opportunities. So it's a way to kind of broaden the support.
Mm-hmm. One of the arguments against, and you heard this from Mr. Van Tassel, that he says he's not 100% against, just a general tax, but we shouldn't have earmarked taxes like this. Should go through the regular budget process. You know, somebody like Mayor Knight and the council there in Nibley City should be making these decisions on a general basis, not an earmarked tax like a wraps tax. I wonder what your argument would be.
I like the earmarked tax, especially when it's going for something like a park. We know what those projects are. We make that application when we apply for the distribution. And it is fulfilling a need that we have in the city, so it works out very well.
Hmm. I want to follow up with, go ahead, and then I have a question to follow up.
He used the phrase designed to distort economic activity. I flipped that around. Here's an opportunity for the citizens of Cache Valley to actually see what's going on. We talk about money that goes away, and do we get back some of it? Here's an opportunity where basically all of these funds, there's a small administrative fee that I think the state takes, 1% or 0.5%, something like that. But basically these funds are spent here, and the decisions are made by local people. I mean, that isn't distorting. That's meeting the will of the people.
We're talking about the wraps tax on Access Utah today. This is a measure to be on the ballot for Cache County voters. Recreation, arts, parks, and zoos tax, 0.1% sales tax applied in Cache County for cultural and botanical parks and recreation and zoological facilities. And the question is, should voters renew this tax, continue it, or should they delete it? And we'll go back to something else. It'll be up for decision, and we're asking you for your opinion as well. 1-800-826-1495, or you can email us at upraxcess@gmail.com. Wally, you said something. This is an argument that I do hear a lot in terms of this, that, you're voters and taxpayers, we do subsidize each other. You used the example of schools. I suppose the pushback argument would be, maybe schools is higher up on the list of priorities for a lot of people. And still, maybe the argument would remain that why should I pay for somebody else to go to the opera?
Well, I think it's a valid concern. I think we can answer that. One of the things the schools have seen is that children are becoming more sedentary. They're sitting there in front of the Nintendo games and just sitting there. Here's an opportunity for them to not only exercise physically by going to a park, by doing, a walking trail, those kinds of things, but also exercise their creativity. One of the things we need as a society is creative children, people that can think, as they say, beyond the box, think of different ways to do things. And you get that by being involved in the arts. So subsidizing the arts is a standard process. Europe, it's part of the regular government. It happens on a regular basis. Subsidizing the arts, especially with children, and we bring in thousands and thousands of children to the theater for free, and that for free means that someone has paid the bill, and that's the reps allowing them to see these people who then can get them involved in being creative. That's important.
Let me also ask you the survival question. Some arts organizations say they would not survive without help like this from the government. People on the other side say, well, maybe they shouldn't survive.
Well, it's a kind of a double-edged sword. At the theater, for example, any dollars that go into the facility help several different arts organizations. So far this year we've had three different arts organizations at the theater, one doing The King and I, one did, Les Mis. Several different groups use the theater. So any time that an improvement is made or an upgrade is made to the facility, it allows them to continue on. And again, these are children in a lot of cases that are learning to be creative. They're learning to say lines and act and all that sort of stuff. It's a good process for them.
Let me turn to you, Brett Daniels, the Parks and Recreation side of this. Would these programs be able to – I suppose you couldn't have as broad a range of programs, or what would disappear, I guess my question is, if we didn't have the RAPS tax?
Sure, yeah. We'd be limited on the amount of kids we could take in each program. I was talking to Terry Baker, who's kind of over soccer here in Cache Valley, and there's 6,500 kids playing soccer alone in Cache Valley. And I know you could start at Richmond at the Cove River Complex and go to Smithfield to Forrester Acres and to North Logan and Elkridge Park and all the way down through down to Nibley and their parks and Hiram. And if we didn't have this, those fields would either not be there or we would not have as many. It was interesting. A couple weeks ago we hosted a baseball tournament in Smithfield, and there was one I talked to one person that owns a business and who was against the tax, and after this baseball tournament or between it, I went up to his store, his service station, and probably 80% of the people there were here because of this baseball tournament that we were hosting. So economically, I think it's a win-win for all of us.
We're just about out of time. Maybe have each of you gentlemen give your final pitch for why you think voters should vote yes on the RAPS tax, starting with Mayor Knight here.
Well, I think, number one, it's a quality of life improvement. You look around the valley, I know of people that moved here years ago, and they noticed how many parks we had, and they were a little bit surprised that we would dedicate so many resources to that project. But I think that's what makes Cache Valley what it is, and I'm for the RAPS tax.
And over to you, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with Mayor Knight. I don't think there's a weekend during the summer now in Cache Valley where there's not an event, a bike race, a fun run, the cruise in, Summerfest, where there's not a major activity going on in Cache Valley. And in this time when we're trying to stimulate our economy, and this is not a time to get rid of this. This is a time to continue to invest in our community.
That's Brett Daniels. We give Wally Bloss the last word here.
Well, I just have to echo the support that we have seen. As you mentioned, Summerfest, as you mentioned, the cruise, and all of these are recipients of RAPS funds. The theater, of course, is a recipient of the RAPS funds. we provide a lot of opportunities for children, a lot of opportunities for people, older people, including myself, older people, to really get out and involve themselves in the community. The arts creates community, and this is something that we need to continue doing, and I support the program.
We've been talking on this part of the program with Wally Bloss, Executive Director of the Cache Valley Center for the Arts, Gerald Knight, Mayor of Nibley, and with Brett Daniels, Smithfield City Recreation Director. Thanks to the gentlemen for coming in. And thanks for listening to Access Utah. By the way, tomorrow on the program, you're going to revisit my conversation from a few months ago with Utah writer Terry Tempest Williams. And she's got an event coming up at Sundance. And at 10 o'clock tomorrow, we have a repeat of the Senate debate, which you can hear tonight at 7 o'clock. All of that on Utah Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Utah Public Radio. This is KUSR HD1 89.5 Logan, KUSK HD1 88.5 Vernal, KUSL HD1 89.3 Richfield, KUST HD1 88.7 Moab, KUSU FM HD1 91.5 Logan. This is Utah Public Radio, Utah's favorite public radio station.